Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know people get tired of that. I don't know. The middle of the week just turns into the middle of the week. It's just the way it is. So.
Well, there are a lot of conversations, a lot of topics.
Yeah.
And so people are like, I will say like, oh, we had this guest on several days ago, or it's been a while, and it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Could be an aging thing, too. Like, time
well,
just...
Yeah.
What's strange, though, is when I feel like, a day is... So, like, let's say I felt like today was Thursday, right? I get the impression in my head that everybody feels the exact same way I do.
Yeah.
That today feels like a Tuesday. You must feel like it's a Tuesday too, right?
Yeah, it's a special kind of narcissism that I share.
Yeah.
I have the same kind of thing. I even feel the same way just about current events. Like, I'm interested in this. I bet everyone is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very hard to get out of that bubble.
Yeah.
And to step back and think, okay, maybe people don't care about this the way I do.
Yeah. Or not caring. You know, that you,
right.
you keep
like people
see,
care about things you don't
you
care about.
You keep seeing the same thing. I'm like, I guess I should care about
That's
this.
That's my game. I'm the, I don't give a crap. And then everybody else is like, no, this actually matters.
Yeah.
Tell you something I care about. I can't stop thinking about how Rachel just destroyed me yesterday.
I didn't destroy you, Ron.
I kind of pictured you last night laying in bed.
Sitting at home.
I did. I was about to go.
Why did she do that?
Why did she say that to me?
Oh, let me. I didn't turn on Andrew's mic here. I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's Andrew's turn today.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I
get my stick burn off on around you.
Like I said,
it is kind of pathetic. You got to stop thinking about it.
Everybody else does it all the time, and I kind of just wanted to jump in there and get one good burn. I don't know.
That's not nice.
The moment just struck me, and I was like, all right, let's do it.
Let me say this. I don't think I'm outing her in any big way. I know her very, very well. She's holding back 80%.
Yeah, she's mean, and she gets this credit for being.
Oh my gosh.
She gets this credit for being so nice.
Yeah, you know what? And I've been, I'm the one.
She's always got burns. She just doesn't say them.
Other than maybe Dave, I'm the one who gives her the most credit in this room. And now that's over. She's,
wow.
She's lost
That's
it.
Okay.
That's it.
Fine.
No more credit.
Now you did it.
This is so upsetting for Raj. Usually kissing up works for him. But
no, not doing it.
Just wait, Rach. Pretty soon he's going to be calling you a dingus.
He's out of ideas.
She said she didn't want the cheesecake that I had. I touched.
So
what?
Here's
Come
the thing.
On.
Here's why it happened. Because it wasn't a burn. It was just like a genuine reaction from her. I think it's really how she feels.
I was like, ew.
And now she's trying to play it off as a burn, but she actually finds you abhorrent.
That's not a bad take.
Yeah.
No. We went through her nachos thing. She's not a fan of sharing food.
Right.
So.
Not a big fan, no.
Yeah.
I think she's trying to be nice by playing it off as a burn. She actually detests you.
She really would have been sharing with Kevin, though.
Maybe I was deflecting.
Maybe.
I was like, oh. I don't want Kevin to know how much I don't want to share this cheesecake.
It's
I'll just
fine
make
if you
it
don't.
About Ron.
It's just more for me.
Well.
Yeah, you're more of a character than Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's fun to get a burn in because everyone's like, oh, there's Ronji.
Yeah.
Here he comes down the street.
How am I more of a character
you're a
than
much
him?
Better target.
Because Kevin's just Kevin.
Yeah.
You're Ronj.
Ronji, you refuse to tell us how you feel. Kevin refuses to not tell us how he feels.
Oh, I see.
Kevin can't stop telling us how he feels about everything at every moment.
Yeah, like I always say when people will ask someone, is Dave really like that? Or ask me how much on the air are you like that off the air? Mm-hmm. And I'll say I'm like my guitar amplifier, that if it's on 3, it's jazz. If it's on 10, it's AC/DC. And I live at a 3 and I do the show at an 8. And I feel like that's kind of how you are, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Kevin is just Kevin.
11.
Yeah. Yeah, all the time.
It's always on 11.
He's like that all the time. You're
all
right.
The time.
It's on 11.
You're right.
Yeah.
He's doing a show when he's not doing a
I've
show.
I've never
That's
asked
right.
myself, what does Kevin think about
this? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you don't have to ask.
Probably have a pretty good idea.
I'm all about no secrets.
But see, with Ronj, he is a mystery man.
Yeah.
People will say, is Ronj really like how he is on the radio? And I say, I don't know.
Yeah,
nobody really knows Ronj. I don't know if he's like, I don't know if he actually has a family. I thought I made it up, but now it feels real. So I don't know.
Isn't it fun not knowing, though?
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I feel like Ronj and I are good friends, but if you said, what's he do at night?
Yeah.
He could be going to raves. He could be alone crying. Like
literally anything's possible.
If you said, you know, later you find out, like, Ronj is a way worse person than you thought or a way better person. He's 50-50. I have no idea. I have no idea. You're just...
That's what he likes. You like that, don't
opaque.
You?
What?
that everybody is like not sure totally where you are?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. I'm just trying to live, man.
I accidentally share everything with everyone, and I realize Ron shares nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever Ron does share something real,
yeah,
it's like when someone doesn't mean to fart.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you're like, do I feel bad?
Yep.
I don't know if I feel bad for you or embarrassed or, ooh, I don't know.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. It sneaks out.
And then we all pretend we didn't notice.
And then you got to deal with it. Yeah. You're like, okay, that happened. So.
Was that a dog?
So, yeah, there you go.
Just back to Burn and Ron. Come full circle.
Dude, I don't want any of that pie. Ron had his, he was near it.
Got Ronge cooties.
God, I remember being so bothered by cooties. Like, first of all, thinking they were real.
Well, just the name, cooties. Who wants that?
Uh-uh. It kind of sounds like an alternative name for boogers, though. And I think for a while I thought cooties and burgers.
You did?
First of all, you just said burgers, which is so much grosser than boogers.
You really thought cooties and boogers were the same?
I remember being young and be like, "Yes, cooties."
That's why. That's exactly why.
What happens when you're not around other kids?
Yes. No, but it was very, very young. Yeah, because there were people who had cooties or like your friend's brothers or something, right? Would be like, ugh.
Yeah,
your nose is full of cooties.
Well, growing up where I did, we for real had scabies. Like they would come through, kind of like lice, I think.
Oh. Yeah, like mites.
Yeah, so they would come. This is legitimately sad. So. No one in South Roxana was rich, but we had a poor section of South Roxana. And everyone, because everyone knows, right? You kind of know where everyone shakes out. And they would come in a couple times a year for scabies check, and they would only check the same three students.
Oh,
that's sad.
And
that's
they would so always mean. Have it.
Well, we had the lice test. They would check for lice, and everybody had to do it. Is that a thing you had to do, too?
We did it once or twice.
Okay.
It went through Phoebe's school, and it was like a fascinating sociology experiment because everyone got it because none of the moms would tell the truth. So like if your kid had it, you were too embarrassed to say, don't come over because Phoebe's got it. And you know, you don't want Hillary to get it. And so everyone just lied and everyone got it. So like,
That is totally human psychology. Like I would rather 10 extra people get lice than people know that I had it or my kid had it.
Wow.
That's crazy.
See?
Wow. Well, no, not me. I'm saying that's the social
experience. Oh, you said I.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You did say I.
Yeah, you said that pretty emphatically.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think that's because I do think.
You snuck that burger out.
Because on the same burger is COVID.
Why is that bothering you so much?
I think the same psychology was COVID. I think there were people.
Oh yeah, people didn't want to. Yeah.
You get COVID.
Yeah.
Early on, especially.
That I had it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had lice?
No, because I was homeschooled.
That's right.
Yeah. Pretty easy to
figure. That's one of the benefits, right? When well, things are being passed around, you're not getting them.
You. Yeah. No, we did not ever get lice. That scares me.
I honestly don't know. What's the like worst, most negative outcome from getting lice?
I think the stigma.
Okay, yeah. It's not like there's not like a real health thing. It's just your head will itch.
Yeah. They're not like ticks, right?
Oof.
Right, no.
They're more like fleas, right?
Yeah. You just have to use medication and stay away from people for X amount of time so that you don't, give it off.
There's a special shampoo, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen those places, like Lice Busters. I've heard they've changed the game. They've changed the game with, like, you can go in, they take care of it.
Oh, that's good.
It's not quite the horror. I mean, it's still gross, but it's not the horror that it was.
Yeah.
I'm not,
Isn't that sad that there are social judgments based on things like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
Well, I did talk to friends who did feel that getting COVID was a moral failure. And even like, even far down the line when it was obvious that we were all going to get it at some point, they still vocally said, yeah. And then they got it and said, I still feel like I failed. I feel like it's a moral failure. And I'm like, yes.
Man.
Yeah.
I felt that way early on because you were supposed to not do anything, not go anywhere. And if you got it, then that meant you weren't going by the instructions or the recommendations. But I felt like, by the time the vaccine rolled around, that was sort of over.
I think there were still some very, how there were the very, very anti-mask groups, and then there were the very follow the rules groups to the point that it was almost a religion. I think in those groups, it was considered a moral failure.
Well, I remember when we were the only show in the entire building. Mm-hmm. So it was like being on a cruise ship by yourself. And we took advantage of that, and we were doing the DGS Olympics, and we had set up all these fun backyard carnival games, and one of them was a little, you know, kind of Nerf basketball thing. And, you know, so Rachel's shooting, and then Tony would shoot, then I would shoot, and people were really mean about, you got to wash the ball off, you can't, and like, damn, brother, you know, like, first of all, you're not here, so don't but people were just that freaked out.
Yeah. Oh, we ran, like, our running group was so careful. We didn't meet at all for probably 3 months. And then we ran outside, and we ran like two by twos. We didn't run in a group.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, we wore masks while running. That's how crazy it was, right? And I remember we got coffee and we'd bring our lawn chairs and spread them out like 10 feet apart. I mean, it was an insane, it was an insane group. And someone took a picture and the guy's like, don't take a picture. Like, I don't want to be indicted for this. And I'm like, you're fine. But there were people in the group who did not want their picture taken. Because
they
just thought it was being irresponsible when we were being insanely careful.
I think it's easier to look back on it with scorn now. Like, oh, I can't believe we did all that. But at the time, you have to remember, we didn't know much about what it was, and people were dying from it.
Yeah.
An inordinate amount of people were dying from it. So I don't think it's all that outrageous that we were careful early on. But I get it now. In hindsight, it all seems stupid, but you have to think about what things were like then.
I've felt embarrassed by how careful we were. But they just would say, like, you're going to kill your mom, or you're going to kill your grandma. And I don't know how I didn't know how to live with that.
Yeah.
So I had to err on the side of being extra cautious because that was such a cruel thing. Like, well, you'll be fine, but your grandma or your mom.
Well, I was worried about that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that.
Right. So you felt like you were even more careful.
Yeah. Remember when we were buying sort of second aftermarket hand sanitizer that was like straight up kerosene? They're just like Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, it's just grain alcohol with just spray. Up,
you'd pour it on your hands and it would like burn the skin off a little bit. And you're like, I think it's working. Yeah.
Pour it on and be like, I'm finally clean.
It doesn't work unless it burns.
Yeah. I remember that spring, so the summer, because normally like spring baseball would start for us in April. And nothing really got started till June because of the delays and figuring out, oh, okay, wait a minute. It's okay to do things outside, all that. And they had all these stupid rules that nobody followed for all these baseball tournaments. Like, no more than four guys in the dugout at the same time. And people had to stand outside the dugout. And umpires had to stand like 10 feet away from home plate or, you know, call balls and strikes from behind the mound. And nobody did any of it. Like, nobody did any of it. Because after a while, you're like, we have 14 people.
So
there's a dugout. There's nowhere else to go.
Help me remember, everything was closed except the absolute essential kind of things, right?
Grocery stores.
And how long did that go on?
Don't remember.
Was it months?
I feel like it was like 2 months. Because I remember in May of 2020, I think that's when restaurants in the city of St. Louis opened back up. And under like lockdown.
The distancing stuff.
Yeah.
I remember getting my papers. Remember that? Did you guys get your official papers that you could travel?
Yeah.
Got that early on because they didn't know if they were going to stop us across state lines. Yeah.
That was sobering.
That was weird.
But I felt special.
Yep.
Had papers.
And then I found out like everybody got papers.
Right.
Because I did feel special as well. Then, I don't know, my friend's like, I work at a shoe company and I got papers. Yeah.
I copied some and gave them to people because they had no like official.
Gosh.
They didn't have any numbers or identifications. It was just like a bearer paper that said,
Nick was
if you're holding this paper, you can buy gas.
Nick was working at Total Wine at the time. And I'm like, well, why are you guys open? And he's like, because we sell water.
Yeah.
That's not what people were buying.
But. No, but because it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, 124 DGS on KMOX. You know what I did last night? Spent 2.5 hours with the whole family watching Nick put together a, I don't know, chest of drawers, whatever you call them, something for Phoebe's dorm room for her new sorority room. since, I bet Nick's been doing this since he, and I'm not exaggerating, since he was five, because I can't screw one thing into another. I can't nail, I can't do anything. I show me directions, I just go blank and poop myself. And so
you don't want that.
He's been doing it this entire time. And this thing, she bought it, I think, what's your place, Andrew? You get all your stuff? Timu.
Timu, yeah.
I think it's the cheapest thing you've ever seen. Not one thing was put together. It was just wood and spikes of some sort. And we just sat there and watched the Olympics and watched him put this thing together. It's my total nightmare. If there is a hell, give me the flames. Give me the flickering flames. Just don't give me a bunch of IKEA things to put together for eternity. Couldn't do it.
Because IKEA instructions have no words, right? It's just pictures.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think that's entirely true.
Well,
that's true for the thing,
one thing I put
pictures.
Together from there was,
we had to put together a chest of drawers. It makes me feel fancy to say that.
Yes.
We had to put together
a wardrobe.
wardrobe from IKEA. And it was just pictures. And I don't even know that the pictures were putting the piece together. It looked like they were fighting.
They weren't doing anything.
No, they weren't doing anything.
What is your blind spot like that? What can you just not accomplish? Oh, God.
Look, well, all car stuff. No, no, all car stuff.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Oh, I changed a tire.
Yeah, I can
you
do that.
Did?
Yeah.
That's probably
really?
The extent of my expertise. Wow. I know where and how to put in, like, because I'm proud now. Like, I know how to put in oil if I need to and, you know, all that. That's it.
I can put in oil. I add it to what's already there.
I can't change it.
Can't change it.
No.
Yeah.
I can't
extract
it.
I know where to put in the windshield wiper stuff if I need to. I know where the blinker fluid goes.
Okay.
That sounded like a book title. Like, I know where the blinker fluid goes.
Oprah's book of the month.
Yeah.
Have you seen the prank videos? Like, parents send their kids into, like, an auto store and say, we're out of blinker fluid, go get some. And they go in there and they get laughed at and they come out, Mom!
Well, I had a flat tire and I had to call, it was a battery. I think it was a battery died and I called AAA, that's what I can do. And the guy shows up and he looks and he's like, okay, and he's outside the car and he's like, could you pop the hood? I'm like, sure. And then, like, a minute goes by, he's like, can you pop the hood?
He's like, you need a little help.
I'm like, I don't know.
You didn't know where the hood button was, did you?
I didn't know where the button was. And so he had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AAA is the best.
AAA is great. Honestly, they don't get enough credit.
No.
Yeah. Maybe the most technical thing I've ever done with a car is replace a battery, but it used to be easier. Like, yeah. I feel like when I look inside engines now, they're more covered up and you got to remove more things. It used to be like right there, you just boop, boop, boop.
There's always that whole, like, is it red on red? Or
yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And back in the day, it was a guess because now I could go, if I'm not sure, I could Google it. I could, hey Siri, which one do you do? 20 years ago, you're like, well, I hope this doesn't kill me.
Like, it's either going to be perfect or it's going to explode in my face.
Sparks. You'd be like,
sparks everywhere.
Yeah.
In our defense, cars used to be a lot simpler.
They did. Yes, they were.
I mean, I couldn't fix those either, but.
No. No. No, just add stuff to them. I can do that.
Well, that's totally intentional that it's not like that now.
Yeah.
Because they want you to have to go get it serviced.
Computers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not conspiracy. We're not that bad.
Big automotive.
Rachel can sew, right?
Yes, I can. I was actually just thinking in that last segment we were talking about COVID, and I sewed a couple of COVID masks, and I was like, I guess this is my life now. I've got to make one for all my family members. And then, of course, they came out with a bunch of
my mom was making masks out of her brassieres.
I love it. I respect it.
There's some serial killer fuel.
She didn't offer you one, did she?
Didn't have to.
She had multiple cup sizes, probably. A B cup, a C cup mask.
Come on, Amy. That's my mom we're talking about.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
134 DGS.
I ain't really sure, but it seems I remember.
Tons of stuff coming up. Michael Calhoun's going to give us a recap of the elections last night coming up at the top. Matt Pauly's going to join us. We have, Rachel has a new nickname now, right?
I think I do.
Yeah. You want to roll it out there?
Well, they're calling me Razor these days.
Yeah. Whoa. You know, what are you going to do? It's your gang name.
Is it because of your sharp wit?
I think it's
It was after the Ranji burn.
Is it after you cut me yesterday?
Hey! Now it's official. That's a good one.
Yeah. You just got cut.
I like it.
Are you actually mad?
Don't give in to him.
Don't even ask. Yeah, he's not going to let you know. He's really not going to let you know.
We're going to take that name away if you don't stop being nice.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
The Razor doesn't ask forgiveness.
That's right.
The Razor just cuts.
Yeah,
that's
it. Just cuts.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You brought it up. Nothing more than to talk about
No. I'm too sad.
It's the only thing you want to talk about.
That's good.
Too upset.
You brought it up in all three segments, I think, that we've done so far today.
You guys mind if I leave early today?
He brought it up with our guests. He was,
he's like, yes, Wesley Bell.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear that? Did you hear Rachel give me a suggestion? You think she meant that?
What would you do if your friend said that?
That's what happened. We had Mike Kehoe. We introduced Mike Kehoe, and he said, how are you guys doing? I was like, well, I was fine until yesterday about 1 o'clock.
If I'm being honest, Mike, I'm not doing too great.
Mike, if I had a delicious piece of cheesecake.
Mike, I feel like I just finished third.
Whoa, oh, damn.
Well, not him. He won. I'm talking about his opponents.
Damn, brother.
Sorry, Mr. Ashcroft.
All over Jay Ashcroft.
Yeah, sorry.
I think it's because of the fish head.
Yeah, I think that took him down.
I really do.
Do you really?
I really do. When I saw that, I was like, oh man, that is across the boy. Does he look like a fish?
Yeah. Do you think it was like the Dukakis moment? Like that was his Dukakis moment?
I think it could be.
What a weird
moment that was.
Yeah. That guy lost an election because he was riding in a tank and had a dumb looking helmet on.
It wasn't a silly way to lose an election. It wasn't only that, but it definitely sealed the deal.
Yes. Have lowered since then.
Do you guys remember the Saturday, the SNL skit of that? When John Lovitz is him and he's like, why am I wearing this helmet?
I remember the debate. He's debating George Bush. And George Bush is going on and on. He keeps repeating himself. And then Dukakis, they go to him and he says, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
This guy. John Lovitz, maybe one of my top three all-time SNL cast members.
Yeah. I have a question that comes from TikTok. I don't know if you guys have seen the one with the over-the-road trucker, the old time trucker. Have you seen this? Just it's like an old school. He's probably in his late 60s and he's got, you know, cigarette voice like this, and he's talking about how new truckers who only go 300 to 500 miles per day, they're just sissies and pansies and their hands are too soft, and they used to go 1800 miles overnight, which would be like 24, 27 hours, something like that. So now people, like modern day truckers, are making fun of him and doing impressions of him. So anyway, it's on my TikTok. But I was talking to Nick about this last night. We had kind of an interesting conversation. Old school, new school. So let's take the guy at his word. He's probably at least fudging, if not lying, because driving 1700 or 1800 miles overnight is kind of insane. But is this, should he be lauded? Should he be thanked for building the country when men were men? Or should he be in jail because he almost killed many people during his career? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that just, you can't drive 27 hours in a row. There are reasons we now have laws against that. And you're kind of a bad, selfish person. Or is it like, yep, that's when a worker was a worker.
Well, he should be appreciated for doing that job, which is difficult. But then he should also recognize that that was probably not the best thing to do. And we shouldn't have had to do that. But it seems like, and I don't know who you're talking about, but it seems like he's criticizing younger generations for not being tough like he was.
For sure.
That's silly.
This happens in sports every year. Oh, what are we going to do with football now? Are we going to make them wear dresses? Like, no, we learned that head injuries are terrible, and we watch your teammates die from head trauma, and we don't want that anymore. Yep. So you're not better or tougher from having suffered more needless brain damage, right?
Well, how about just work? How about, like, we're going to go to a 4-day work week, or you know, no contacting me after 5 p.m., no emails, no nothing on the weekends, and, oh, you're soft, and I used to work every weekend. Is it same stuff? Same?
I think so, to a slightly different degree, but because I think if you put it to any of those people in their heyday of working in the workforce, they would have taken every one of those things. If you had taken, like, my dad's not like the guy you're talking about, but if you had taken somebody from my dad's generation and said, would you rather work 4 days or five? They'd have been like, four, please. Mm. Like, they would have all done that given the opportunity. It's just resentment that they didn't have that opportunity.
You know, what's interesting is that Rach and Andrew are both in their early 30s, but I know from knowing you that you're the last generation that had to really, really earn your place in radio. You worked every Christmas, you worked every holiday, you worked doubles, you worked triples. It took you years to even sniff around a show, much less be on a show. And there are people in the building now who have shows after a couple of years. God love them. You know, things have changed, things have progressed. It was easier on me than it was people in the 70s. It's easier on them than it was for you. But you guys had it kind of old school in spite of how young you are.
Yeah. And I would be lying if every once in a while I didn't have like a little twinge of resentment sometimes, because it's like, oh, that seems like that came. It just seems like the opportunity just kind of fell into your lap. But I would rather an opportunity fall into someone's lap than them have to scrimp and save the way I did to try to make a career out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like.
And I mean, I know Rachel does too, but there's an element of fondness that you kind of look back on. You know what I mean? Like, once you're through that, it's hard not to look back and be like, oh, man, that was. Yeah, I would show up, like, there were Sundays where I would show up at, like, you know, 5 in the morning, and I would stay until, like, 9 o'clock at night, and you just hang out, do what needs doing, and it's,
you think that's true? Like, they always say the climb is sweeter than getting to the top?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm definitely glad I don't have to put in hours like that anymore, you know what I mean? I'm glad that, you know, it is, I've told some of the younger, like, part-timers here that do kind of wacky shifts.
You're the old guy now.
I know, I'm the old guy, and I tell him, like, hey, it is true, your body doesn't hold up as well. Like, you know, you feel fine not getting any sleep and, you know, working 30 hours in 2 days or whatever, but it's like...
Was it like that for you, Ronge, when you started out?
Yeah, well, excuse me, when my first job, I was working weekends, no big deal, but that was only for a couple of years. Then when I got the job in Chicago, I worked every Christmas,
yep,
Thanksgiving, every single holiday that everybody else got off and was out doing fun stuff, 4th of July.
Holiday party. Everyone else is drinking and eating and you're on the air.
That's right. That was me. That happened a couple of times. And then I got lucky after that. But it was, but you just do it. And that was my assumption. Hey, I'm going to be the lowest person on this pole when I get in there. I'm going to have to do these dumb shifts. It's going to be awful.
I'm
but
so glad you
just have
said
to go through with it.
F really clearly there.
Yeah. Shifts. I was nervous.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, and everybody's path looks a little bit different, but my dad used to joke that I was a professional volunteer because I would just work and work and do things for free and know people and be there and get my face in front of people just over. It's why I had three jobs until I got the job in 2019 full time with Charlie Brennan. I mean, that was the first time in my life that I didn't have at least three jobs because I was writing and I was tutoring and I was teaching and then doing radio. And I did a ton for free. I mean, like daily things for free for 3 years.
Yeah.
For 3 years, it was daily that I did not get paid for, but I wanted to show that I'm going to put in the work and I'm going to learn.
Yeah. Well, before I really knew Rachel, I just knew she was the girl who was always there.
Yeah.
You were just always there.
Yeah, because it was like some weeks I would have like 5 hours, which is obviously not enough to live on. But then the next week, enough people would be on vacation and I could pick up like, you know, 70 or 80.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just take
it when
you can get it.
And you were driving from Grafton.
For like the first year and then I moved. But that was kind of, when I was interning for free, I was driving from Grafton every day. Oof, and it was like, all right.
I used to get the call from the boss at the place I worked at, one-on-one sports.
Yeah.
Which was a national network, but in that day, that didn't mean anything. In the 90s, that just meant that you were a small little operation that happened to have satellites and, you know, go to all the little radio stations that didn't have the budget for full-time employees. But they would, the guy's name, Rich Bond, I never will forget how good he was to me. But every time he called me, the first thing out of his mouth was, Kevin, do you love money? You got a chance. I got a shift for you. And it could be, it could have been running master control, which meant keeping our O&Os on the air. It could be cutting audio. It could have been doing updates. Eventually it became shows. But every time he called, the answer was yes, because that's what eventually built the trust that we'll give you the new things. But I don't resent somebody who comes up now and gets an opportunity because they had a podcast that was good. And I don't think that people now should have to do that just to attain credibility. You know, I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish I didn't have to have Rich call me after I did an overnight shift. He called me at 7 a.m. I got home at 6. He called me at 7 and said, Kevin, we can't find John, who was our midday host. Can you be back here in a half an hour?
We can't find John.
Where the hell was John?
John had problems. John, put it this point. He's alive and well now, and he had addiction problems. Mm. But he, at the time, we actually would send people to his house to make sure he was alive.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, yeah. Yikes. I mean, like, he was a partier, and it would get carried away.
Let's talk to Tom here on line one. Tom, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Interesting topic. Something kind of similar to what you guys are talking about. I kind of agree with Kevin, what he just said about you know, he doesn't resent somebody else for maybe getting a good break that you didn't get. We've got something similar kind of started during the height of COVID, where a lot of people started working from home. Well, then when COVID kind of slowed down or whatever you call it now, a lot of people went back into work in the office. Some people can't work from home because of what they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, like the outside sales force, they can work from home. And some of the people, especially one, it just eats at him. He always says, we have to work. Why don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to explain to him, for me to unplug my computer, drive to work, and plug in my computer and work on my computer makes no sense.
Right.
You know, but I think it's funny, and I guess it's human nature, and I tried not to be that way. But if somebody else gets something that's good for them and it's really not going to affect me one way or the other, I don't worry about it.
Good for you. And I think that's rare. And I think that really is human nature.
Yeah.
Is even if we pretend it's okay, there's a part of us that it's not okay.
I mean, it's okay for us to say, God, that sucked. And I wish I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wish the same difficulty on someone else just because I had to do it.
So I think this extends to student loan stuff. And I know that there's a different argument that maybe it's not good for the country economically to do that, to just forgive everybody's student loans. But me, somebody who's paid off mine, I am not upset if somebody beyond me, after me, got their loans taken care of. That doesn't bother me personally. I have to stop.
Shine of 2 p.m. Ranjan is saying that he doesn't like when the Olympians bite the metal, and I don't like it for a different reason. You ever put your tongue on a 9-volt?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that little tingle.
Yes. Like, there's something about biting metal that makes your teeth vibrate.
Oh, yeah. Not great.
It could be partly when people eat and they scrape their teeth on the fork.
The fork.
Stop it! That's what your lips are for.
Tony Colombo shares my OCD, and he had a thing that freaked me out once. He was like, I just can't use a fork at a restaurant. Like, well, how come? He's like, because 10,000 people have put that in their mouth, and I know they clean them. I've worked at restaurants. I know they steam them. I know that they're bacteria-free. But just the thought of 10,000 people putting this thing in their mouth keeps me from doing it.
Wow.
And I get that. I use forks.
I get it. Yeah, but oddly doesn't weird me out.
What doesn't weird me out is, like, restaurants, but people, like, if you've ever been, like, a friend's house or apartment, like, when you're younger and it's, like, roommates and you're just thinking, I don't know how clean these people are.
That's where you get the lice.
That's where you get the cooties, Amy.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.